thought we have today is the rejected stone. I was reading this. The Lord gave me this message before we went to Monarch, and I really thought it was for Monarch, but it didn't work out that way. So we trust the Lord. The Lord knows more than we know. I was reading this scripture in Mark 12, and this is when I read this scripture, the Lord put this burden on my heart, and I trust that he'll help me to be able to deliver it like he put it on me. So let's start at verse 1 and read 1 through 10. And the main scripture is the 10th verse, but sometimes it's good to read the verses before to get a good understanding of the background.
Mark chapter 12. And he began to speak unto them in parables. A certain man planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it and digged a place for the wind back and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And at the season he went to the husbandman, he sent to the husbandman a servant that he might receive from the husbandman the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him and beat him and sent him away empty. And again he sent unto them another servant, and at him they cast stones and wounded him in the head and sent him away shamefully handled. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. Having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandman and will give the vineyard unto others. And this is the 10th verse. And have ye not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner.
Now all of this is talking about the kingdom of God. Before Jesus came, there were many. There were prophets that God sent to talk to, starting actually Moses and different ones. Starting with them, well, I can't say maybe just Moses, but Moses was the one that he sent to deliver a message to the people and to the Pharaoh to let his people go. But anyway, the people did not appreciate them. It's a parable to show what had happened in the past. And over time, he sent one prophet after another to talk to the people, and they rejected him. Then he sent his son. God sent his son. And here, this is an example. This is the son. This is the heir. They will respect him. They did not. They rejected him. They killed him. So it says, have you heard, read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. Here is our example of that rejected stone, which is Christ Jesus. They didn't want it. They didn't, you know, the religious people, the religious leaders of Jesus, they did not want him. They rejected him. They killed him. They wanted to go on with their own religious ideas and ways. And You know, today, people are rejecting Jesus. They're not accepting him. They are casting him to the curb, so to speak, aside. Because they want to go on with their own ways. They want to live like they live, want to live. They don't want to take God's way. Let's go to 1 Peter 2:4-7. But we know that that stone that the builders rejected became the head of the corner. That stone is what the kingdom of God is established on today. We have salvation today. It has brought hope to us today. It's brought salvation. It's brought eternal life. Jesus brought all of these things, but yet people reject him. He is the foundation of our salvation. And he loves us and he cares for us. It's a priceless stone. Have you ever, I was thinking one time, sometimes you may meet somebody that's very important and you don't know they're important. You just, you know, they just look like an ordinary person to you. But then when you find out, wow, that is a very important person, and I just act like they were nothing. You know, a VIP, Jesus is that VIP. There are a lot of people just reject. They don't want his way. It's too straight. It's too narrow. They don't want to do the right thing. They want to do their way. But we don't want to do that. 1 Peter 2:4-7. We really need to see how important Jesus is. He's a priceless stone. We're going to have several scriptures to help us to see. In the scriptures, it might call him of the bright morning star, or it gives us an opportunity to see how precious Jesus is.
Okay, 1 Peter 2:4-7. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner.
So the builders decide, I guess if you were building and you needed rocks and stones and concrete or whatever to build, you might decide, I'm going to use this, but I'm not using that. The builders decided, we're not using him. We're not about, you know, you had this conversation, Brent, to some people that were building on a different foundation. They're not building on Jesus Christ. They disallow that. But he has become the head of the corner. Jesus is the foundation of our salvation. He gives us eternal life. We're going to look at all the as many things as we can to see how precious this stone is. It's not precious to others. They might talk negative about it, but he's precious to us. We know how precious he is. For me, he's precious because he gave me salvation. He's precious because I have eternal life. I have a hope that when I die from here, I will go to heaven. He's so precious. He leads and guides. Sometimes we may start to make a mistake, but He will show us the right way and keep us from making those mistakes. He's wonderful. He's precious. Others might cast him aside, but we don't want to cast him aside. We want to recognize how beautiful and how wonderful and how precious this stone is. Sometimes we might have some old coins. One of my sons used to collect coins and everything. Some of those are valuable. Somebody might look at that and say, I don't see any good in this, and I might as well just throw it away or just, you know, let the kids play with it. But it may be worth hundreds of dollars because it's precious. Same way with the Lord. He's precious. We don't even want to use his name in vain. Some people, they hurt their hand and they use God's name in there. But we don't want to do that. We want to lift his name up and praise him. Let's go to Isaiah 28 and 16. So we don't want, people don't realize the true value. Do we realize the true value of Jesus? I do. He's precious to me. And we need to keep that awe. You know, some people like to say, oh, that's just awesome. Well, you know what? I reserve that word awesome for God. So Jesus, he's awesome. And we need to have that reverence for him at all times.
Mm-hmm. Therefore, thus said the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste.
Yes, he is precious. God did this. He gave his precious son that we may have eternal life. You know, before Jesus came, people couldn't help it. They had the couldn't help it. They would sin. Then they would repent. They would offer sacrifice for their sin. And when they get through offering sacrifice for their sin, they go back and sin again. Couldn't help it. But you know, we don't have any excuse today because Jesus has come, that precious cornerstone. We can stand flat-footed on him and know that our building is going to stand if we will just live for him. Revelations 22 and 16. He's that bright and morning star. So he's priceless. You know, sometimes you may have some things that you can't even put price on it. I'll tell you, some things are worth more than money. Some things you may have in your house, so to speak, are worth more than money. My mother gave me this, or my so-and-so gave it to me. And you can't put a price on it because I wouldn't sell it for nothing. That's the same way with the Lord. He's priceless. We don't want to sell him for anything. We want to put him up on a pedestal. We want to honor him. We want to adore him. We want to do all we can to please him because he's done so much for us.
Revelations 22 and 16.
Mm-hmm.
I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star.
I am, that's me. I am the bright and morning star. You can honor me. You can recognize how precious I am. I tell you this, Jesus told us that himself. And so we want to have that great respect and honor for him. So some people today, Instead of honoring him and going his way, they go about to set up their own righteousness, their own religion. Whatever they want to believe, that's what they're setting up. There's a scripture that says that something about they go about setting up their own righteousness. It's really found in Romans 10, 1 through 4.
Romans 10 and 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone that believeth.
Yes. We don't want to go establish our own righteousness. That's not going to get us anywhere. When we stand before God in the judgment and we have our own righteousness, he'll say, I never knew you. Depart from me. That's what he's saying. But we don't want to do that. We want to submit ourselves to the righteousness of God. And we do this by obeying the word of God. His righteousness is founded in the word of God. And in fact, Jesus himself is the word of God. Did you know that? The scripture says that the word was made flesh and dwelled among us. That's Jesus. He was made flesh, and he dwelt upon us. So we are safe when we obey, and when we read and obey the word of God. We're safe. We're establishing ourselves. We're submitting ourselves to the righteousness of God. Some people say, oh, it's okay. You can do that. It ain't gonna hurt you to do that. No, it will hurt you if you're not obeying the word of God. But if you do, we become the children of God. We become heirs of God. Let's go now to Titus 3, 4, and 7. We want to see how that through Jesus, through this rejected stone, we have hope in this life. Sometimes the devil wants to take all your hope. He wants you to feel hopeless. God doesn't love me. He's not going to accept me. All that kind of stuff is the devil. He puts that in your heart because he don't want you to submit to the righteousness of God, because he know that is what's going to take to go to heaven. We want to be able to go to heaven when we leave this world. We're not going to live here always. You go out to the cemetery, you're going to see some little graves, big graves. All people go, die of all different ages. Whenever the Lord sees fit to take us, we want to go to his heaven. So we must submit to the righteousness of God and allow the Lord to pour into us his hope and his mercy. Did you get that?
Titus 3, 4 through 7.
Yes.
But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
See, he's given us a hope of eternal life. And it's through Jesus Christ our Savior. He died for us. He was willing to give his life that we might be heirs of eternal life. Isaiah 53, I'm going to read 3 through 9, said, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. This is what Jesus had. He understands grief. He understands sorrow because he bore that. And it says, and we hear this and wear our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. In other words, we didn't look up to him. Surely he has borne our grief. Think about this. On the cross, he bore our grief. Everything that hurts us and grieves us, Jesus bore it for us on the cross. And it says, and carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. This is what he did. This is what that stone did for us. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. Even though we did wrong, he took all of this for us. And it says, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. He did all of this that we can be healed, that we can be delivered, that we can have hope, that we can have mercy. All of this Jesus did for us. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was despised. And he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people. Because of our sins, he died. He died. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. God, Jesus was an innocent sacrifice for our sin. So when we begin to feel hopeless and feel like we can't make it and that he doesn't care, remember Jesus. He died to show us how much he loved us and how much he cared for us. So what is our responsibility? He shed his blood on the cross for us. He did everything. There is nothing left to do for our salvation because he did it all. What should we do? We shouldn't reject him. We should accept him. We should submit ourselves to the righteousness of God and have the peace that he sacrificed his life, that we can have peace. He doesn't want us to be all upset and torn up and worried and fretting and just feeling like I'm just lost. No, he came to bring a bright hope that all we have to do is accept it. Don't reject him when he deals with our heart. Don't reject him when he deals with our heart on any level. Maybe he might deal with our heart to give our heart to him and be saved. Also, he may deal with us about some of our shortcomings. Maybe we don't have the patience we ought to have with other people. He might deal with us on that level. Or maybe we have a tendency to say unkind words to people. They get upset, they say something we don't like, and we just argue with them and say unkind words. It's many ways the Lord deals with our heart. Do you know? We never get too old to say I'm sorry. We don't. I have had to say I'm sorry to the children, to them. You know, sometimes they can get on your nerve because they are very active. And sometimes they want to make too much noise or they don't want to settle down. If I speak and feel like I was not so kind in my words, I will ask them to forgive me. Then I ask the Lord to forgive me and help me to have patience. That's what I do. Ask him, give me patience with them. Sometimes we need patience even with our own self. Sometimes we look down on ourselves and we need God to help us to have patience with ourselves. So many levels that the Lord deals with our heart. Jesus comes to our heart. He speaks to our conscience and tells us, you need to clear that up. You need to speak more kind. You need to do this or do that. And we want to be faithful to respond to the dealings of the Lord. Because he was that rejected stone, those people, religious leaders reject him, and people today reject him, but we must not reject him. We must accept what he say and do what he tells us to do. Pray for me.